Blog Talk Radio.
Christian Podcast Network,
Hallelujah, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, founder, owner, and executive producer of the Spirit Alive Network, and I'd like to welcome all of you here tonight to Wounded No More for this Thursday, September the 23rd, 2021. And now, my friends, here is your anointed host and facilitator, Prophetess Vanessa Carver. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Wounded No More. Thank you, Bishop Cook, for that intro. We are doing part two about the emotionally healthy, spiritually emotionally healthy leader. Excuse me. We're talking about leadership, servant leaders specifically. This is part two. I will be doing part three, and that'll finalize. And then I'll go on to a next topic as it pertains to being wounded no more. I'm focusing on leaders because, first of all, this has been on my heart for a long time. Our well-being, our wholeness, our health, especially those that are in places of assignment. And so because I see so much dysfunction, and that's not to point a finger, but that's to say what is the root of the dysfunction? Not being balanced. There's so many reasons, but tonight I'm going to talk about being emotionally whole so that as you serve the people of God, that you will be able to facilitate their wholeness. And since this show is called Wounded No More, I think the worst thing that we can experience is wounded leaders. Wounded leaders are dangerous.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
And so when we talk about wounded, them not dealing with their own stuff or not really, let's just put it this way, not knowing how to. It's something that we have to have a level of humility to learn what that is. And so I'm going to do my best to just scratch the surface of this topic because I've been studying this and praying about this for years. Let me give you a little bit of a background. About 5 years ago, I'm a prayer, and everybody that knows me knows that that's one of the areas where God deals with me the strongest is in my prayer life. And so I had been praying for leadership, you know, the regular thing, and it just started to grieve me when I would intercede for different leaders and different regions that leaders were over and things you would see happening in the news and so on and so forth. It began to just grieve me. At this time, I was in California when it dropped really heavy, and I was in school at the time, when it dropped really heavy in my spirit from God. That leaders need to be healed. Leaders need to be ministered to effectively.
Yes, leaders need to feel safe.
They need to feel safe so that they can continue to function. They need to be connected. They need good support systems, and they don't have it. So he gave me a name for just a five-part series I did called Taking Care of a Servant's Heart. And when I begin to present tonight, you hear me speak about that a lot, the heart, the heart, the heart. Well, when you talk about woundedness, the hearts are broken in many of our leaders. And so for whatever reason, there's many reasons why they could be and why they get broke heart from the heart. And that, like I said, is a dangerous place to be serving from, is a broken heart. And so I talked about your call. I talked about the heaviness. I talked about what do we do? How do we rest? And different things. And I was blessed by it because I would say I'm one of those people with my hand held high that was dealing with heartbreak, that was dealing with rejection, that was dealing with fatigue, that was dealing with frustration, that was dealing with depression, oppression, you name it. I was dealing with that and didn't really know how to function well in serving the people of Christ. I felt like there was no place of authenticity and my identity was not really in what I was doing. I was just going through the motions, man. And it was messing me up because I didn't want to compartmentalize what I was doing. I wanted whatever God had me doing to flow into every flow into my life, not me put stuff on the shelf and live a certain way in my heart, more so in my heart than on the outside. Because if you saw me today, I would be the same tomorrow for the most part. But there was some stuff going on internally. Next week, I'm going to talk about the inside life. But this week, I'm going to specifically continue to talk about how we take care of those places that are on, that we're less than, or that we are, the glass is half empty, not half full at all. and why we may get to these things. So basically, I'm going to be talking to you, and I want you to make this your own. I want whatever scriptures come to you, write them down, go back to them and study, meditate on them, talk to God about them, because it's for you. Not for you to change the word, but I want you to be edified, exhorted, and comforted by anything that God is leading me to say for you as leaders. It is not to point a finger. It is not to condemn you. It is to impress upon you to begin to make God the center for why you do what you do. That's really all it is. And to be encouraged to tell the truth. Be honest about where you are. Be honest about where you are and where you want to be. So if you can recognize, yeah, I'm tired, or yeah, I'm frustrated, or yeah, I'm mad, or yes, I'm dealing with rejection, or I'm confused, that means when you begin to acknowledge it, you won't stay there, because you will come out of it. It's a new day. The moment that you begin to say, the moment that you begin to tell the truth, it's a new day. And be encouraged to be honest and be safe to do it. Maybe today or maybe next week, I'll begin to talk about safe places for leaders. Because as we co-lead together, it talks about, this is part of my lesson, about knowing those who labor among you, understanding who they are, and not to know them according to the flesh, but to know who they are and to be kind to them and bear one another's burdens and what that means to do for leaders. And so many times as we are building and we have assignments, we're real good at recognizing what we're supposed to be doing. We become very good and accurate even about understanding our call and our purpose. That used to be an issue. It's not so much anymore, because there are great teachings and great leaders that have written books, and there's trainings and different things, even high levels of intercession that can facilitate people in understanding their purpose on this earth. And that's great. That's a great thing. That no more do you have to be in a place where you're wandering around not understanding what you're supposed to be doing and why you're doing it. So that's good. But what happens with that, because of our nature, even when we have the Holy Spirit, we have to continuously desire and incorporate the Lord in everything that we do. But when you have a list as long as your arm and you've got things to do, there are things in the body of, in ministry that have to be taken care of that are just everyday tasks. And they need to be taken care of administratively, spiritually, mentally, physically. When it comes to ministry, ministry is work. It is work. But we work heartily unto the Lord. And when we forget to work heartily unto the Lord, we begin to work wholeheartedly unto who? People, ourselves.
That other
ministry down the street.
Carrying on.
That's right. A lot of people pleasing that that's like an art now. It's become a science.
Okay.
To the point where you have even deceived yourself into thinking that you're not doing that when that is what you're doing, and that is maybe why you've lost your way, because that shouldn't be your focus. And if somewhere along there you've gotten off course, get back on course and realize and repent. That comes into play in this, is a level of repentance and humility. So that many times, you know, people would, you know, I've been in servant leadership positions before, and I'd be like, I don't know what I'm doing. And I would say, God, you're going to have to help me. And he said, that's the way I want it, and that's the way I want it to stay. Because as long as I'm not operating out of my own giftings and my intellect and stuff, which is great, which all that comes from God, my own wisdom and my own experiences, and know that I have to be responsible to God and accountable to God as it pertains to his people, it'll keep me in line. So when I'm saying, I really don't know what I'm doing, the Lord says, stay teachable and I'll teach you. And if I don't have my heart aligned with his heart and his purposes, I'm going to get off track somewhere. And we all do. We're human. We all do, because we get really busy doing what? Checking the boxes. Ministry is work. But I think one of the things that helps me understand is that, Lord, be honest where you are. I'm tired. I'm tired. I don't know. This is something that I was writing in my notes. You know, some people don't know how to slow down.
Come on.
They do not know how to do it. They don't know how to do it. So it's one thing to say slow down, and you say, okay, but you have to really get honest, which is one of the things I'm going to talk about tonight, is Where are you? And if you don't know how to do something that God is telling you to do, and I'm not just talking about the task of ministry, I'm talking about taking care of your emotions, being taking care of yourself better, or even slowing down. I can't slow down. Phones are being lost. This and that. Yes, that's true. But at a deficit for what? You mistreating the people around you? You disconnected. If you're not honoring, you're not taking the Sabbath, and I'm not talking about in a legalistic way. I'm saying rest. You're not resting. You're not connecting with the Lord. You're not spending time with Him. You're just checking those boxes. You have become disconnected from what you're doing. You're not walking with God in your ministry. You're just doing. And it's hard sometimes for people to know, I need to slow down. One of the things I want to talk about is having, this means you have a low self-awareness. So we can be on autopilot. Everybody know what that means, right? You just be going. Get up and do the same thing again, go back. Get up and do the same thing again, get back. You see things being done. You're being productive. You even have a measure of success. You know things are getting done. We're good. We're growing. We're blowing it out. We're doing exactly what God has told us to be. We on fire for God. And yet, stuff is crumbling all around you internally. You're dealing with heaviness. You're dealing with levels of fatigue. You're burning out quicker than you used to, because some of us have been in ministry for decades, and 20,
Amen.
You know, more than 20 years, 50 years or more. Some people have been in ministry for a very long time, and they do get tired in their body, and that's easy to recognize. But many people, before they get tired in their body, they get tired in their soul.
Yes, they do.
And
preach
your soul, your soul consists of three areas: your will, your mind, and your emotion, which is what I'm talking about tonight. You get tired in your soul. So this topic to me has to do with soul issues of a servant leader. And that's what I'm just going to be talking about. And I'm just sitting down talking to you all like you're my brother and sisters in Christ, like we're sitting around eating together and sharing a meal. That's why I'm talking to you based on some things that I am in the process of studying. And I truly believe that this is one of those issues that should be taught and ministered to on a regular basis. Whether you are actively in ministry or used to be in ministry or about to be, this needs to be taught. Because when I'm reading this, I'm reading this and studying this, and it's just like eye-opening. This man has experienced it really from a minister called Peter Cazzaro. He has a whole ministry, but he also had a whole church ministry before he had this, and it was his own journey and how God taught him so he can teach other leaders how to be healthy. And I've always loved this ministry. It's a very powerful ministry. You know, I'm going to even share with you how he was even saying since COVID, he talked about how ministry has, how it has impacted our ministry and how we don't even know how to mourn together. We don't, it's so easy to plug into, because there's been so much loss. That's why. It's not just a loss of a person physically. It's loss of some level of freedom, whatever we thought we had, people just being so paranoid about doing certain things, not being able to touch base with people. You know, God has created us to be strong in all kinds of diverse adversity. At the same time, people are really mentally being impacted by this. And so he talks about mourning together and how healthy that is to do it in a healthy way. We don't know how to do that as a body. And part of that is because we're so, you know, there's so many divisions. That's a whole nother subject. But when you're not aware of these things,
call a thing a thing, yes, division.
When you're not aware of these things, all this stuff floods in, and it crushes you. So low self-awareness, not honesty about how you really feel, because I would come up with a couple of reasons why I feel like some people don't, and it's because they don't feel safe. They don't want to be judged. They don't want to be looked at in a different way. Well, I thought you were stronger than that. Well, I thought, you know, it says in our weaknesses, God's strength is perfected. And that we're perfected is maturity. And so there's levels of, we got to learn to let go in some areas.
Yeah.
So that God can show himself strong in our lives, even while we're leading. And so we have to be aware of where we are and say, God, you know, help me to have a contrite spirit and a humble spirit and a teachable spirit. We also need to, you know, people have their breaking points when they don't know how to express themselves. They either isolate or they begin to express their emotions inappropriately. And the way to look at that is different. I think as leaders and co-leaders, we need to say when somebody is burnt out or when somebody is acting out, quote unquote, something's not right. And it's usually an area in their soul. Instead of blame, you know, saying, you know, instead of pointing a finger or saying something negative, God said, look at it closer and look at it critically. There are many things usually going on by that time. Everybody burns out in different ways. By the time we hear about scandal and different things of that nature, stuff has already happened in their soul. There's already been fragmentation. And so that to me, when I was reading this and studying and thinking about this as I stepped away from the literature, the Lord began to show me that to be able to critically pray, to be able to have discerning spirits and have insight when you pray for leadership, when you understand it, and then biblically understanding different examples and what the word says how to and what to. And I realized that we real good at pointing fingers at each other, and it's not good. So how do we love each other? First of all, we come before the Lord and we begin to pray for them. We begin to intercede and cry out for them. And especially if we discern something real early, it may not have been manifested in an affair. It may not have been manifested in an overdose. It may not have been manifested in an inappropriate, you know, public affair or whatever. But there's stuff that happened before we saw what we see. That's what the Lord was showing me. And he said, so we need to pray for the families. We need to pray for their load. We need to pray for their self-awareness. We need to pray that they have people around them on their teams that they can trust, not people that are building them up falsely and not holding them accountable and learning to love them in the right way, but who are there to support them based on the word and the calling on their life and their relationship with God. So you got a bunch of people that, yes, men and yes, women. Ain't nobody telling the truth. And you're in alignment with foolishness. And so I said, okay, God, you got to help us. He wants to help us. It's not got to. He wants to, and he's trying to help us. So I believe that areas of the soul is where these things are impacted, and it does impact our relationships. We don't know who labors among us. We don't know them. So to really know them, to really not just know their skill set, not to see their doctor, to see their experience and their resume. Yeah, you know what they can do. You even know how God has anointed them in certain areas. You know them, but do you really know them to help them and to be able to see the weaknesses and the strengths together and say, I'm here for you. I'm going to help support you. I'm thinking about you. I'm praying for you. I'm here to help you in any way that you need and really mean it. So I think that know those who labor among you. And when I hear that scripture, I'd be like, okay, I'm going to pray first, because God always gives me insight about things I would never know and things that they would never share. Not to expose them or anything, but to cover them. They cover us. They cover us. And so as those who are under certain leadership, even though we're serving together, there's always somebody covering you. God said to cover them because they cover them.
Yes, Lord.
And we may not think about that, whether they ask us to or not. I think that's one of the ways we know them and we love them and we bear their burden, is we know and we are aware of how those relationships are impacted when people are tired, when people are unbalanced, when people are fragmented, when people got a lot going on. And sometimes their ministry is powerful, it's growing, but they got all kinds of stuff going on at home. They'll never tell you. Some of them will never tell you. And you know what? They got to know who they can trust. And so, but you might be close enough to see something ain't right. God will have, the Holy Spirit will have you look at certain things and pick it up. Not to blame, not to hold to your heart so you can have something to gossip about, but to cover them. To cover them. I've been on teams where I've prayed over our leadership, our head leadership, and we could even see things in the spirit realm where we would have to pray against certain attacks that would try to come and attack the leadership and different things way in advance. So I think we need to be aware of that. That's how we understand that their relationship or how relationships are impacted. And it's a domino effect. So here you have a leader that don't know how to slow down, don't have any self-awareness, is not being honest about where they are, is just going and going and going. And then you see how this leader or these leaders treat the people around them who are there to support them. And then you see their support system begin to fall away. And then you see people leaving. I mean, this is a multi-tiered dynamic. Our leaders are. So it's just like if you play, there's a game called Chenga, and you have to remove the blocks and keep building. But if you remove the blocks in a certain way, the whole thing comes down. We have leaders that are being tampered with, if you will, by the enemy, or have set themselves in places where they are not stable. And all it takes is a certain pulling of that column, or that, I would call that pillar in the body, and all this, everything comes down. Now, I truly believe sometimes it has to come down before God can build it up. But sometimes some things can be prevented so that there would be a sure foundation. And so when we see our brother or our sister being, quote unquote, tampered with or in a weak position, we have to ask, you know, I just pray whatever God tells me to pray. But one of the things I've prayed in the past is God strengthen them. Strengthen the pillar. Strengthen the pillar, because if they fall, I fall. And if I fall, they fall, right? Because if something if there's a foundation, we all are connected to each other, whether we believe it or not, or whether we want to be connected to each other or not, we are. And the world is looking at this. I remember at the beginning of this year, I was teaching about love. And I started crying on the podcast, and I was crying because I was reading a scripture out of John about how the world would know that they know we are the disciples about how, based on how we love one another. And I choked up, and I could feel like we don't love each other really. And it just choked me up. And I said, God, we got some work to do. He said, yeah, we do. We do. Because we're so quick to throw each other under the bus and, you know, and say all kinds of things. So quick to say that instead of saying, just be quiet. Let me God show all this to be true. You know, sometimes judgment has to come to bring people to true repentance, and God does purify, you know, and at the same time, we don't know, you know, all the ins and outs of the situation to be throwing darts and judging people. So I feel like love covers a multitude of sin. It doesn't make excuses for it. But I think that we have to just say that's still my brother and sister in Christ at the end of the day. Lord, how do I love them, and how do you see them? And based on how he sees them, we have to see them the same way and treat them thusly. Easier said than done, right? But nevertheless, it can be done. I talked about, you know, not slowing down and chronic and being chronically overextended. You're just doing too much. You know, the kids say that when they feel like somebody is being, it's an expression that the kids use when they say, oh, you just showing off, or you are trying to get attention or something. They say, you're doing too much. Like, calm down. And when I say being chronically overextended, it just means that you don't, first of all, you don't know how to slow down, and maybe you need to ask for help in places that you didn't before, and you feel like it's all on you. And God said, not so much true. You need to let me show you who can bear this with, who can help you bear it, because everybody can. Some people don't have the capacity. Some people don't have the interest, and some people really are not called to certain areas. We all have different parts to play, and God will show you who those people are. And guess what? Sometimes you're waiting for a long time for those people. And I think, nevertheless, you continue to build. You continue to build. You have to maybe do it in a different way or slow down, but God said, continue to build. Continue to build. I will send you the right people, not temps, You know how people get jobs and they're temps and they're short assignments. And I do believe he utilizes those types of people too. But at the end of the day, there are people that will help you be there for the long haul. And we don't always know who those people are, but I know who does, God. We think we know because we have these things about loyalty, or we don't understand times and seasons sometimes when it comes to certain people because we get used to them and they're good in it, and then God moves them somewhere else. And so we have to trust God's timing. We have to trust God's choosing and picking the right people. Some people are called to our ministry to help us lift the load, but you got to teach them how to do that. And sometimes some people are not willing to do that. They are not. And so this means you become chronically overextended and you begin to compartmentalize your ministry because it's a lot of weight. And so that means compartmentalizing means you put stuff in boxes. And to me, it feels like building blocks. It feels like it's building blocks for hypocrisy when you start compartmentalizing. So you got to be careful of that. And you got to recognize that that's what you're doing. That means it's almost like, I would say in some degree, it's like living a double life. That's the only way that you can really deal with the stress is you compartmentalize. And God has not called us to compartmentalize. Our life, ministry never stops, but we still have to be able to understand balance and manage and talk to God about your workload. Talk to God about the things that he put on your heart to do. Talk to God about the things that he wants to help you do. He said we were supposed to do these together, and you just don't took off and did your own thing. Or you ain't moving like I told you to do. You said, oh, you haven't done that yet. So make sure his voice is the loudest and the most valuable voice in your life when it comes to ministry and serving. I'm making it, it may sound simple or so, you know, just absolute, but it is. It's really that, but it's a decision to do that. And all that trust in the Lord that comes first, trust in the Lord. And all that, you know, in all that way, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Trust comes first, y'all. So if there's no trust about what God has called you to do and in how you're serving the people of God, go back to the trust issues. Trust issues always point to soul areas in the soul. Always, always point to areas in the soul. And so if we don't take care or address the areas of trust in our lives towards God, I'm not even talking about people, I'm talking about God. Trust in the Lord. Not trust in your degree. Not trust in Mr. So-and-so. Not trust in your bank account. Not trust in you know, your background or your mama and your family. Not trust, it says trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. More likely when you trust in the Lord with all your heart, it's less likely to be broken. I'm just gonna be honest. Because you're not putting that trust in a place where it will be broken. If we trust in God, he never fails us. He never fails us. He cares about what we're going through. He cares about your frustration, servant leader. He cares about your depression, servant leader. He cares about your broken marriage, servant leader. He cares about your divorce, servant leader. He cares about your addiction problems, servant leader. He cares about your financial issues, servant leader. He cares about the broken heart, servant leader. He cares about your loss, servant leader. He cares about your weariness, servant leader, and he cares about your health. I can go on and on, you guys. But God cares. And if you start from that place of knowing that God cares about what you're going through, about you wanting to step down, about you wanting to step out, about whatever it is that you want to step on something, step on somebody, he cares about all of that. And I think that will encourage you to be honest about where you are.
What are you getting out of it? At the end of the day, it should be the last thing, but is it giving glory to God? And a lot of times when we're following the eye of put us to go, we do get a lot of benefit from that, and it's usually not superficial. It's usually the development of our character, which is long-term, which makes us better people, which makes us more loving, which makes us more apt and more wise to serve and care for the people of God. And it really shows his purposes in our hearts. It comes through even I believe. And so we have to understand that God is still trying to build us up and draw us closer to him and how we minister to other people. He is concerned about the level of intimacy that we are creating in serving other people and serving him. So even though we're serving leaders, we're serving the people, but we're doing it for him. We're doing it because of him. And with God, we have to be careful with opportunities and things that open up that we just want to jump on because all we're thinking is we're in ministry mode. And there are a lot of great opportunities, especially to minister. The harvest is ripe, the laborers are few. And so, you know, attend to the harvest. There's lost souls everywhere, and it's increasing. I had a, I don't know if it was a dream or whatever. One day, I was praying and I began to pray about the loss about souls, right? Just praying about souls. And God said, by the time that you are praying for souls, it's because if I'm putting a burden on you to pray for souls, he says it's because they've been crying out for a long time to me. And I'm telling my people to get on it. And so that for you, that's just an example of the heaviness of what God put on you to do. And you just get activated to do that. So just be aware and be discerning of what opportunities that you pick up on so that you don't overextend yourself. The moment that you begin to overextend yourself, you begin to compartmentalize because it's a lot of weight. You know how there are some people that are just organizational masters. They're so good at organizing things. Organization is a great thing. But I think when it comes to the things of God, we have to leave a lot of that up to him. Because when we begin to organize, sometimes by our human nature and our makeup, we begin to compartmentalize. I'm going to put this over here. Mentally, we do this. And emotionally, we do this. I'm going to put this over here. I'm going to do this. I don't got time to be dealing with that. I'm going to put this over here. So when we don't lean to our trust in the Lord with all our heart, lean not to your own understanding. God knows how to organize. God knows when to say, yeah, you can pick that up and you can manage it, but you got to do it this way. Or don't deal with that. Leave that for some other ministry to pick up. We have to be able to listen to God about all the things, even the practical things, and how to do it. And so when we begin to cultivate a relationship with him, and create a Sabbath, that means a time or a day where we just, it's all about him. And it's not about bringing all of our ministry cares to him. Okay, I need this time so I can know how to be a better minister. It really should be just to spend time with him. Like when me and my husband schedule to spend time with each other and we go away, it's like sometimes there have been many times that he's had to bring his work with him. And those aren't the best times. But it's like when he comes and we both have all of our attention on each other, we have a great time. And I think it goes intimacy. And it doesn't have to be a whole lot. It just means I need his whole attention. He needs my whole attention. And so I believe that when we say we're going to take some consecration time, be careful how you arrange the cards. The concentration time should be so you can get filled up and built up so you can go out and do ministry again. Although that's part of it, but put him number one on the agenda. What he wants and not just what you're doing for him, but who he is. Get to know him more intimate. You know, that's hard. It's like it's hard for some people to slow down. It's hard for some people to be intimate with the Lord. Because unless we're in work mode, we don't know how to do that. And, well, we don't know how to do that well. So, once again, that's an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to teach us how to be intimate, to teach us how to slow down, to teach us how to be honest, along with being over chronically overextended, is when you do take times of consecration and when you do take times of rest, you got this mindset of, well, I earned it. I burned my butt off. I need to go take some rest. I need to. You should do that no matter what. Anyway, to spend time with the Lord doesn't have to be earned. Because it's a relationship that should always be, you should be engaging in the whole time when you're working. You don't know how to do that. You know what I mean? You have to learn to worship him and work heartily unto him so that when you do take those consecration times, those are extra special, like extra special. Like even if you just don't leave the room the whole time or whatever, you just bask in God's glory and his peace and his rest, period. It's like, I wrote something today on Facebook, and it made me think of what we do. After a while, you know, we live in a society and in a culture that is full of addictions, all kinds of addictions, not just substance abuse, but anything you can think of, there's an addiction for it. And so I said, people, you know, extreme busyness is an opiate. It's like a drug. So we need to detox and get sober. And so he got on those sheep. And God wants you to be, God wants us to be stable. And he doesn't want us to have things in our hearts that are driving us to, that is feeding an addiction, whether it's to please people, whether it's to please ourselves, to be accepted, to be validated. But we have to, unless it's him, he's the only one that we are really required to please. And many times when we minister, you did an awesome job because you did it from the heart. And you did it from my heart. You asked me, and we did it together. You know what I mean? We did it together. You can tell that when God does something with us together or with us in mind, you really feel it, and you really are appreciative of, this made me close to God, because I could really tell that God was with me in this when I ministered and when I went and did this and when I wrote this book or when I started this, you know, class or whatever it is, because he told me to do it, but I felt like he was really there the whole time. Man, powerful time. And it changes your relationship with God, and it changes your life, really. This is what God wants. This is why I am teaching this. And I am going to talk about the book of Luke 10. Then talk up 10:20. I'm going to say this verse. You know how when Jesus sent all the disciples out to heal people, to cast out demons and so forth, and they came back and they were sharing how many people they had healed and how they could cast out devils. And Jesus said this, "Do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." And that means the things, the abilities that God gives us to do. And it's powerful when we see God working through us to heal the sick, to minister to people, to heal people, to you know, for them to experience and come back to God and all this kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, that last piece, "But rejoice that your names are written in heaven." And to me, that's about, once again, focus on the fact that because I'm in your life, you're able to do these things. And I'm the core of why you do them. Rejoice in that. Not that what you can do, but because of who you are because of me. And that's what Jesus was saying. Well, I've lied. I've come. He's come. He's our Lord and our Savior, everyone. So I just want you to be encouraged tonight. As you are dealing with assignments, many of us have several assignments. Make sure that you go with God. Deal with those things in your heart. Don't overextend. Spend time with him. Be honest about what's going on with you. Don't compartmentalize. Don't take on more than what God has told you to take on. And know those who labor among you. And I want to end this class tonight with prayer. And I want you to be encouraged, knowing that God is with you. Father God, I thank you tonight for you speaking tonight to your people, to those who are serving, those who are getting ready to serve, and those who will serve. I thank you for your love for them and care for them. I thank you, Lord, today for those who you are ministering to right now at the place of their pain, at the place of their weariness, at the place, Lord, of them being disturbed, whatever it is, or just doubting, giving clarity and giving peace right now, Lord. And thank you, Lord, today for you being patient with us so we can be patient with those you've called us to. Lord, I thank you that you give them courage where they need, give them strength for their weak. Lord, give them an understanding and wisdom, Lord, to study your word, to apply it in their life first, and adequately carry the load that you have given for them to carry. I thank you, Lord, today that we lay aside every weight and sin that easily besets us, that gets in our way of operating out of a pure heart. I thank you, Lord, today that you love us and you're faithful to us. And so we can trust you. Help us to constantly walk in that place so that we can come boldly before you and ask for what we need. I thank you for this ministry. I thank you for the prayer ministries. This ministry is connected to
you, Jesus.
I thank you, Father God, today for the growth that as we grow together, we do pray for each other. We do build our constantly interceding for each other in all kinds of areas. But more specifically, I thank you for touching those who have global ministries under their belt, who are ministering for the world, for whatever reason, ministering for other ministers and others across the seas and everywhere else. I bless your name, and I thank you, Lord, that you have called us to be healed so that we can facilitate more healing in this world, because there's still a lot of evil and there's things that are happening to your people all over the world. But I thank you, Lord, today that we are not to pour from an empty fountain. We're not supposed to be wounded and trying to help somebody else that's wounded. Thank you, Lord, for making us whole. And thank you for giving us a desire to do so. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah. What an anointed teaching. Praise God. Hallelujah. You have been listening to Prophetess Vanessa Carver, and she has really brought a lot of things out. Prophetess Vanessa, I really liked how you said, you know, in speaking about people's fearfulness to serve since COVID, you know, earlier on Facebook, this week on Facebook, I said, you know, Jesus would not have canceled his trip to see the woman at the well. He wouldn't have canceled his Sermon on the Mount, nor would he cancel his trip to go to raise Lazarus from the dead due to a plague.
Right.
You know, he wouldn't have did it. He would have went right on about his Father's business. And if we know, you know, at this time it is scary for a lot of people, and we do get tired of hearing all the negative, but I just want people to remember that God is God all the time, and he is, and as my sister said, when we are weak, his strength is perfected. So fear not, fret not, pray for one another, trust in God, continue to do the work that he has told you to do. I heard my sister say, be real about where you're at. If you, you know, just be real with God. It's not like he doesn't already know. So I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank the chat rooms for being full tonight. If does anybody happen to have any questions? I mean, because a prophetess is so on point and so thorough. But if you have any questions, or if you just have a comment or want to bless prophetess and just say, you know, you're right, I can testify to that, you're welcome to push your one, and I will address you by your area code and the last four digits of your phone number. Hallelujah. Once again, I just want to, this is just, I'm so glad that you're doing this, because I have always had a heart for servants. I have always wanted the best for servant leaders. And like you said, a lot of them just they don't have a safe place. But I want you servant leaders to know that you have a safe place here at Spirit Alive. So on behalf of myself, Prophetess, amen. Prophetess Vanessa Carver, we pray that you have a beautiful and blessed weekend, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and from our household of faith to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless
you. Good night.
Until next week.
Good night,
precious. Beautiful.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night.